Get your day started right. This is BLC Breakfast with Gulam Fakir and Sabiro Sheikh Yasser. Only on the Voice of the Cape.
Some 13 minutes after 7 is where we're at this morning. If you've just joined us, welcome into it. Good to have you in our company on this Tuesday edition of VOC Breakfast. We move along now to our next feature. Now, in a national address on Sunday evening, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced that government would move to level 1 lockdown as the country continues to see a decline in COVID-19 infections. And in the accompanying gazette published by the Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, government further clarified the exact rules around the relaxed level 1 lockdown and what South Africans could and of course cannot do. But since then we've had many questions around, you know, now what for schools? You know, what happens to the schooling year? Of course we've also seen in recent days the school calendar being called into questions. And, you know, over the past few months we've seen a sort of a roster that has been worked out for our students in order for them to return safely back to school. We also understood that those teachers with comorbidities up until level 3 of lockdown would be allowed to work from home, online, etc. But now having moved to level 1, I mean, what awaits our students and our schools? Perhaps to clarify on the matter for us this morning, joining us online from Stellenbosch University is Professor Aslam Fattah. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Good to be chatting, Prof.
Now,
of course, just to understand, you know, in terms of everyone asking, what exactly does level 1 mean for the educational sector? And of course, you know, would it have any impact on schools?
Well, level 1 does not entail too many radical changes from level 3. Some small changes are required, and yet we have to understand that all of this within the context of which you speak. One big one is that teachers who under level 3 had comorbidities could stay at home as well and so on, but now they are expected in the Western Cape to come back on the 8th of March. So that is quite a big one because the teachers with comorbidities are now also going to have to come back to school, and that's going to create major trauma for those teachers. Remember, we are... Our second wave have gone down, but we are living in anticipation of a third wave as well. The trauma and the expectations about infection and so on have not gone down.
Now, of course, you know, we've seen the recent timetables of the past few months indicate that, you know, students perhaps go to a school every alternate week or alternate days, etc. And that's been worked out quite nicely. But in terms of, you know, when we are saying those teachers with comorbidities will be heading to school come the 8th of March, you know, does that increase the risk factor, so to speak? I mean, what are the risks of our children, you know, being at school, but of course then having teachers as well in the mix with those comorbidities?
Well, the protocols under level 3 remains as tight as was under level 3 now under level 1, meaning social distancing will still obtain. Children will still be staggered and going to school every second day as they did in the under level 3. The only difference this time is that the teachers are going to be expected to be back, and that is going to happen from the 8th of March, but I do think there's going to be a lot of fallout as a result of that, because the teachers who are under threat via the unions and the organizations are going to make the call that should be relaxed, because we are not out of the woods, because we're anticipating a third wave, and teachers will be very vulnerable as a result. But that doesn't mean that the kids and the children who are going to school are not vulnerable, which doesn't require care, who are not traumatized as well. So that same set of issues are still ongoing in schools. That has to be balanced, though, against an attempt to get education going, to get curriculum covered, to deal with questions of learning loss and to move through the year, which, as you say, is very onerous. Teachers are complaining that teaching days have been set aside despite school starting on the 15th of March for the majority of public schools. It seems that the department is very intent on making up as many years as possible, And the teacher unions are saying that that is well nigh impossible. That creates part of the trauma.
Prof, as you say, you know, in an effort to get a school, the school year going and, you know, catch up on the academic time that was lost in 2020, could we see now under level one, perhaps, you know, that staggered approach sort of easing up a bit where more days will be covered in the classroom per se? And then also, you know, should we expect that, or should we see that, you know, third wave coming through and then going back to a staggered approach? It's a little unsettling for students, isn't it? Students, is it not?
Yes, look, I think that the cramped school year as it currently is, and as the announcement was made about 3-4 weeks ago, is in anticipation, this is my hunch, is in anticipation of the third wave, when we have to lock down and readjust our school, our children attending school again. I think that the policy that sits under this anticipates the third wave and the fourth wave for 2021. I listened last night to Professor Shabir Mahdi, who confirmed this very much so. According to him, the pathogen virus will be with us for a very, very long time, and we have to adapt to this abnormal situation. And we will, according to the planning, will be experiencing third and fourth waves, which means that when we are in a position to, as we now in lockdown level one, we should maximize days in anticipation of losing days to the rest of the year.
Prof, also, if I could just come in here very quickly. If you look at the statement that was released by Brian Schroeder, he says that all of them, like you've mentioned, should be back at school by the 8th of March. But I'm a bit concerned in terms of the support, Prof. You know, will they have enough support for those teachers, you know, who might be anxious, you know, suffering also from anxiety of having to go back? You know, does the WCED have those measures in place as well for the educators?
Well, that is exactly what is going to play itself out at an individual teacher here, teacher there, three teachers here, three teachers there level. So the system will be more destabilized at the local school level. At the moment, there's a proviso until the 8th of March that teachers with comorbidities can and do apply not to go to school. Now they have to come to school, but those teachers with comorbidities wouldn't have gone away. The anxiety still remained, and there's now going to be individualized pressures from these teachers on schools about managing their comorbidities, taking off further school sick leave days, and so on and so forth. So it is not as if the impact of teachers who have comorbidities will go away. They will just now be decentralized to the local school principal, healthcare facilities, who will have to make the call about whether this teacher, that teacher will come. But remember, a teacher with a comorbidity is a very healthy teacher potentially, but has comorbidities and can be negatively affected and can have serious consequences of that when that teacher becomes infected, infecting others, but also landing up with illness. So there's a vulnerable situation that's going to now impact our teaching, which further creates vulnerability in the teaching system.
Also, with that said, Prof, you know, also both the learner and the educator, with the non-teaching staff and the teacher assistants, I think 2021 is going to present itself very differently, you know, in terms of extracurricular activity, for example, like sport. That's something that might not, you know, be, you know, might not be actively, you know, enforced on or at schools because of the pandemic at this point in time.
Well, exactly. The WCED has indicated that in the next couple of days it will come out with a circular to explain their particular policy around the recreation, around sport, and so on and so forth. But I don't see there being much in the form of allowing school sports to happen over the next 6 months to a year, which is a real, real, real pity in the times of trauma for children. Kids outside in fresh air, doing exercise and getting in their sport, it is probably as important as them getting through the curriculum. So that situation is not going to be ameliorated in this particular context. I just do not see schools coming back via this sport in any meaningful way.
Prof, then just to detract a little, you know, last year, of course, we saw lots of parents losing their jobs, being put on short time. A lot of income was lost in many households as well. Of course, towards the end of the year, you know, when parents usually sort of save up to do, you know, stationery shopping, uniforms, etc. for the next academic year, we saw a lot of strain on parents as well. And there was a call at the time, you know, for uniforms to be scrapped. But as we've seen in the past few hours, Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga stating that, you know, the ongoing ongoing struggle with the price of school uniforms has been brought into question, but they will not be scrapping school uniforms for 2021. And just taking into consideration that you know, everyone is not at school as per previous years, perhaps you'll comment on that as well.
Yes, my comment is that our policies have to understand the world that we live in and the ability of parents to afford whatever needs to be bought for schools. If we cannot afford school uniforms, but we can afford basic clothing that's clean, that is presentable, that is under a number of rules about how you can come to school and so on, so that why should we insist on that school's uniform looking in this particular way? Why don't we just have a standard procedure about cleanliness, about having decent clothing, about how we present ourselves to school and observe those. And so people who can afford uniforms, they can go ahead and have uniforms that also observe those protocols. The point is not the uniform. The point is you have to come to school presentable, clean, ready to learn, good mind and spirit, and so on and so forth. And if you insist on uniforms in a context where we can't afford it, it makes complete nonsense of access to school in policy. What you're then suggesting is that if you don't have the proper uniform, you can't come to school. And in this day and age, that simply does not make sense. It's kind of a systemic inconsistency here. The regulation does not meet the requirement and the policy intent.
Puff, do you think if the uniform policies were sort of relaxed, you know, would that put perhaps added pressure on parents and students alike in terms of, you know, coming to school in civvies, for instance, but having the best and others might not?
Well, exactly. That is the reverse side of this particular coin. But schools would have to have policies about good behavior, good dress, presentable dress, and so on and so forth that make certain things allowable and other things not. We're far from this particular situation because we are too uniform bound. You see, we come from the British system, and you know these things are lodged in our consciousness than we are. Just have difficulty dealing with some of the more simple things because it's part of our culture. I think it's the time that we revisit this policy and have good policies in place, just about simply being presentable and being school ready when you come to school, as opposed to looking some in a particular way, given your particular school uniform. I don't think it's required necessarily, but this would take a long-term mind switch from everyone.
And then just finally, you know, on a parting note, we've seen South Africa's new calendar that's been met with a bit of criticism as well. There are talks about legal challenges of the lack of holidays in the 2021 year. Do you think there's an argument to that?
There is definitely an argument to that. You know, days that you lose that have preceded you and holidays that you've granted more than what you should have because of the pandemic that is now behind you cannot be made up through stringent cutting of holidays going forward. There's a very important reason for why schools have holidays. That is so that we can balance out the pressures that they under, teachers are under when the calendar is on. And then when we cut holidays to the extent that we have, then this puts in jeopardy the entire well-being of teachers and students. I mean, the public out there always say perhaps teachers are not working as hard as they should and they have these big holidays. That is not true. The holidays are there for the kind of replenishing, for the kind of getting yourself into a situation in which you can do alternative education, where you can basically rest and relax for onerous teaching that will happen. In a context of a pandemic, taking away a very reasonable holiday periods will just add to the storm and the stress amongst teachers and students.
Well, Professor Aslam Fattah, always a pleasure. We thank you for your time this morning. That was Professor Aslam Fattah speaking to us from Stellenbosch University with regards to level one of a lockdown. And of course, what does it mean for the educational sector? Very interesting there.